The comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent.
Hi folks, welcome to White Cane Travel. I am Jared Reimer, and I hope that you are all being safe out there, and you are doing the best you can in making sure that you are able to get the attention of the cars so you may continue to cross safely and live well. We're coming down to the holiday season. This is going to be podcast number 20. And in October, I had two guests on, Tim and Steph. Both are broadcasters at 986themix.com. Steph wanted to talk about her story, and it is maybe similar to mine, but maybe as bad as Herbie's. But you will be able to determine whose story was worse, and, you know, recommendations and so forth, and what happened, and why it is important for every driver, no matter where you live, to be paying attention to what's around you, and to quit doing things that can harm people, especially those with disabilities. You may email me at contact@whitecanetravel.com, and other information is available on our website on how to contact the team at whitecanetravel.com. So, I am looking at getting another podcast out, and then we'll see where the podcast goes next year. And it all depends on feedback, what you like and don't like, or if you have a story to tell that might be a good story to tell. Please contact me and let me know what's on your mind. Now, without any further ado, let's go ahead and get this podcast going. Tim and Steph are by telephone, and I am on Skype. So until next time, everybody, thanks for listening. All right, so welcome to the podcast, everybody. We tried to do this once before, but, well, the internet seems to not play nice, so we're on a telephone bridge, but we must go on, and some podcasts might be done over a phone line, and it's all good. Got a couple of people with us from Canada. We're going to go ahead and give them an opportunity to introduce themselves. Tell the listeners who they are and if they would like a little bit of experience with Cane Travel, although we'll get into all of that and why they're here to begin with. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You go ahead.
My name is Timothy. I am visually impaired, as you all know. I also am an avid Star Trek fan, as well as other things. I'm also a baseball fan. Our Blue Jays lost. Ooh. Nevertheless, we are also cane users.
Yep.
All right. Who's next?
Hey. Hey, everybody. I am Stephanie, and yes, I also use a cane and as well. And I have quite a bit of, well, some cane travel tips for those who are new to them, new to using a cane, or I could remind some of the familiar ones.
Well, before you go into that, you actually wanted to come in here for a reason. And Stephanie, you were telling me, and I don't expect you to go into much detail, but you have other disabilities besides blindness, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And what about you, Tim?
I have no other disabilities except for the fact that I'm visually handicapped.
Okay. I just want people to understand, now I'm not asking for information, but I want people to understand the differences of what's going on between the two of you so that when we get into this, they can understand the circumstances a little bit.
Do not disturb.
You should turn that.
Okay, I
turned
on.
There you
go.
I should about do the same thing around here. but while we switch our phones on Do Not Disturb around here. So you actually, Stephanie, had a besides the cane techniques, which we'll get into, you wanted to actually tell a story. Now, would you compare this story to mine, or would you compare it more to Herbie's?
I don't know.
Or is it completely different than either one of ours?
I don't know what to compare it with, because there are some differences. And it's not easy for me to compare.
But I mean, like, is it... Stories. Well, not necessarily compare, as in it was exactly the same. What I mean by compare is that, like, is it similar to... I don't think any story should compare to one another, per se, but is it similar to, like, what happened to me in February or what happened to Herbie some years ago?
Maybe a little bit of both. I'm not really sure.
Okay. And for those who don't know, I believe it was podcast 11 when Herbie came on with his story. And I think it was 11. And
It's possible because I...
Check it out.
Yeah. I totally missed that one.
All right. Well, we'll check it out, and maybe you can come back and on a different one and relate it at a different time. But I was just curious on whether it was similar, because I talked about my experience then too, and so it was, I believe it was 11.
Possible.
So, you do have a story to tell, though.
I do. Yes, I do.
And what before you go into it, what decided you to talk about your story on White Cane Travel?
I want people to know that should it happen to them, that there is a way for them to... fight back for what they deserve, what they need, because generally, if you're crossing the street and the car comes barreling out of nowhere, you've got to be able to, if you're able to get out of the way quickly, then go ahead, do so, but if you're not that quick, you're going to get hit. And it's not fun, I'll tell you, it's not fun.
Yeah, I think it was podcast 11. Because people should be reminded And I almost, you know, and we're recording, by the way, on the 26th of October. And just on the 25th alone, I almost got hit. And then I, you know, took some deep breaths. And then I went to try again. There were a couple of bikers. And we all could have gotten hit last night. And so, yeah, it is really,
yeah,
it is really bad out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people don't seem to be looking.
They're too distracted with their mobile phone.
Yeah, accidents in the disabled podcast 11, folks. So this is similar to what we talked about then, in a way, but we are going to let them tell their story because I believe, you know, if there's something to – now, there is some differences that I do know after the fact, but I think it can be related – in some ways to what we talked about with accidents and the disabled. And I'm not exactly sure what to call this. Accidents and the disabled part two?
Yeah, you might want to do that because...
Or accidents and the disabled, United States versus Canada? I think...
Well, we have some similar laws as you guys do.
We do.
There are also some differentiations.
Yeah.
So,
the kids in the background. I'm gonna call it the accident 2015.
Accidents 2015. So it was just 2015.
March 20, because you had that in March 2015, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Yeah, March 2015. So what made you decide to come? So what made you decide to come out after a year and call it 6 months?
Because I came out because I feel that people need to be aware of the distractions. People need to know that it can happen to anyone. It doesn't have to be somebody disabled. It can happen to two vehicles. It can happen to two pedestrians colliding, not looking where they're going, not listening for footsteps. People in general need to understand the dangers of traveling.
And why do you think
it can happen to anyone?
And why do you think it's gotten so bad in the last 2 years? And I want to say 2 years loosely because it has never been this bad until the last couple of years.
I would say it would be because of the advancements in technology, such as mobile phones, smartphones.
Yeah.
Reality games, like, say, Pokemon Go.
Yeah, that's a good
which we need to talk about because, and I want to talk about it, which is probably a good thing we are doing a second take on this because some of the blind community over on AppleVis, bless their heart, I like what AppleVis is doing, you know, letting the community know what's accessible and not, and that's great. But they were trying to advocate Pokemon Go to be accessible, and I think you Tim, probably
that
saw this
pose
on my
a major problem.
You
yeah.
on my timeline probably saw this, Tim, when I posted my article about it. That I didn't think it was a good idea. Did you see that?
No, I would believe it would be a major distraction. We're already distracted as it is, Jared.
But hang on. The reason why I'm asking if you saw it was because when I posted the article and I talked about the fact that that this wouldn't be a good idea because of the fact, and I think I posted it to my tech blog and the White Cane Travel blog. And if I can find it, I'll link it in the show notes for the podcast.
That is, yep.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, I can link to either copy, it doesn't matter. But, you know, what I'm saying is that this is not, I mean, we already had stories of sighted people. You know, if you listen to Security Now, Steve Gibson was talking about in one of the episodes, he's at a Starbucks at a rate, you know, on a regular basis, and he, you know, minding his own business, you know, getting work done and, you know, whatever. And some Verizon guy, was over there playing Pokemon and ran into a tree.
Yeah, because they're looking down.
And so, you know, I brought this up. I said, "What good would you know?" I appreciate what AppleVis is doing, but this is not the game to make accessible. I think Pokemon Go has pretty much died out now. I have not heard much.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm sure they've made some changes because of all the accidents that have been going on.
Yep.
And people are losing interest in the game now because of the fact that, you know, yes, they've got the warning. You must pay attention to your surroundings. But it has gotten to the point where it doesn't matter. People aren't. Yeah. And so I'm relating this to your story. I already know about it. In fact, you took some time off of our radio station because of it, which we, you know, allowed you to do. But I'm relaying this because as you tell this story, I want people to think about what they were doing while they were playing this game, which the blind community wanted to get accessible, which I really feel is not the best.
It wouldn't be possible.
It's not, it's not feasible.
Mm-mm.
Well, anything could be. It could be feasible if it was done. If it was done correctly.
Yeah.
If it was designed like Apple. If it was designed like Apple Maps. Or
Then
yes, it could be. But I don't personally, as a technology I don't want to say I'm an expert because there's always things to learn, but as someone who provides technical support to in regards to keeping the network as safe as we possibly can over on JaredReimer.net, I really feel that this is the wrong type of game to make accessible.
For that, yes.
Well, the reason why that is that I find that it can be quite distracting. We're already distracted as it is.
And why is that?
People and residents are complaining that too many people are climbing fences, going into their backyards without permission.
Yeah, and does everybody know what that's called in law terms?
Trespassing?
That's correct. So people are getting into legal trouble, too.
Yeah.
So, now, if I were playing this game, I would be playing it as safely as I can. I wouldn't be, playing it while I'm, trying to cross the street.
You wouldn't be playing it invading other people's privacy, exactly.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. And if there were Pokemon in somebody else's yard, well, that's too bad. It's not mine.
No, because, I mean...
It's not mine to have.
Because if they say, oh, I've got this and that, come on over. You know, that would be okay.
But that's something different.
Yeah.
That's different, yeah.
Why do you think we are getting more distracted now than we did, call it 5 years ago, besides the technology?
People just aren't generally paying attention to their surroundings. They're
texting. They're
talking. Not only technology. It's also, even 5 years ago, people would be blasting their radios, not paying attention to what they're doing, not watching the road, looking to see if there are any if there's any pedestrians walking or other vehicles in the way.
Or even an emergency vehicle.
Yeah. They're not paying attention to that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even the low techs are not paying attention.
So let's.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's why there's so much distraction. Even the distracted driver's law is simply.
Yeah.
It's simply not enough.
Do you understand enough of the laws to so that people can understand? So like you can. Sort of explain what it is, what this law is.
The distracted law is supposed to, and I say that there are some failures and there are some successes, but ordinarily the law would be to prevent, I guess, distracted driving. In other words, people on their cell phones,
Mm-hmm.
Even hands-free can be quite dangerous.
Yes. Because you're not fully divided, undivided attention to the road.
No.
And that's why we have the law, but I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I do know that it actually has cut down on a lot of accidents, but
it still happens.
It still happens. It's not enough.
Yeah.
I don't know what will be. Did
well,
we make
so we're talking. Yeah. So we're talking about this because you have a story to tell, and I think it relates to the beginning. So I will.
It does. Yeah.
I will
yes,
go ahead and let you to tell this story. Yeah.
But you were part of it.
But you were part of it, and if you want to say something, you may. I will be here, and I, mm-hmm. I will do my best not to say anything until you're done. So I will let you go for it. And Tim, you can intervene when you need to, and then I'll come in at the end. Okay?
Go ahead, dude.
Okay. As some of you know, I was out for supper one night back in March 2015, March 31st to be exact, and we had just finished supper at Pizza Hut, myself, Tim, and my son Trevor. We were coming home and we were just about toward the median going toward Dairy Queen here. It was 6:30 in the evening, and it was raining. Poor time, anyway. And we were walking, calmly talking and walking to each other, paying attention, listening to the traffic. Then all of a sudden, zoom, this car comes out of nowhere. I felt a bump, but did not feel myself lose my grip on Tim's arm, whom happened to have his cane out. Well, it was the worst day of my life because, Trevor was in front of Tim. Tim was holding on to Trevor. I was holding on to Tim. I was taking the rear. Well, this car comes off to my left, out of nowhere, right in front of the crosswalk where we were supposed to be, about ready to cross. Well, she apparently was talking on her phone to her mother, and I did not feel myself lose my grip. My backpack was on my back, my red one. And it was, I had some food. I was going to take in the rest of whatever I had left over. Well, I was, Trevor kept saying to us, if I had moved 30 seconds faster. But no, I told him, I said, don't blame yourself. Because, and he kept blaming himself over and over and over again. And I did not feel my pouch being torn off my waist, my old one, that is. I have a new one that is a little bit better than what I had before. So after that, oh, good idea. I did not feel myself fall to the right hand, to my right side. I did not feel myself spin. I didn't feel myself hit the ground. None of it. I was unconscious probably before I even hit the ground. Because I was out apparently 6 minutes of my life are just gone. Total. No, I did not hear Trevor screaming and yelling at the driver. I didn't hear him call 911. Nothing. But I do remember waking up on my back, on the ground, with six or seven people all around me. I do remember the ambulance was there. I do remember talking to them. I remember being slid onto the backboard, which they have to do. I remember my head tapping the head part of the backboard. I didn't realize how much blood I lost. Oh my goodness, I lost a lot of it. I remember talking to them on the way to the hospital. I remember their neck brace they had to put on me. It's under my chin, making it difficult for me to answer their questions. So I was in the hospital for 6 hours. I told them, I said, I'm not staying overnight. No leaping way. I was not about to stay overnight. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, I finally got home. I had some whiplash as my head must have been spun. I had some soft tissue injury. I had a couple of cracked ribs. Hairline cracked ribs. I couldn't lay on my left side. I couldn't lay on my back. So for 2 weeks, I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't even use my cane. And so we took legal action.
And it's still ongoing.
And it's still ongoing, yes. We're getting there, but it's a slow process.
Yeah, that's the legal system for you.
Exactly. Even though it's slow, it's getting somewhere. But I went for physio. I went for counseling. They just wanted to see me 3 more times for the counseling. And then I'm done with that. But then there's Trevor. He's got 10 or 12 more sessions to do, as he's got other things going on that he needs to talk about. That I can't get into, which that's up to Trevor's business. So, but other than that, Tim was there for moral support. Everybody was there for moral support. Trevor was the one that called 911, and I'm very grateful to him for it. I'm grateful to everybody who helped me through that rough time, even my fellow optimists. Were there, in even though across maybe Instagram or Facebook, calls, it doesn't matter as long as they're there somewhere. And I do appreciate everyone on that station, on our station for it. because of the fact that I had even people outside of Canada to turn to. I had all of you to turn to. And without that, I wouldn't have the connection I do have now. Without anyone's help, I don't think I would be here today. If it was that bad. Thankfully, it wasn't. I had to use the walker for 2 weeks. But I did get around. I did go to doctors for treatment and that. I'm physically well healed. The gash on my head is very well healed. It's the emotional part of the memory of the accident is not as bad as it was at first. I am now able to cross the street no problem, except there's a very few moments where a car would come across me from right to left. But that isn't as bad as it was. I used to get very jumpy, and thanks to the counseling sessions, I am now able to detach myself from the emotional part of that memory. It's there. The memory itself is there. But I am now able to get on with my life. I am now able to talk to people about it. I'm not scared of it. It is something you cannot hide from. If you have had an accident, and if you are able, if you are fearless, go for it. This is something that that people need to be aware of. Because I'm thinking that other people might have a similar situation. They could be worse off than I was. And that is why I tell this story. Because it is something you must never hide from. And that's that.
Yeah. Wow.
Exactly.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Absolutely out of nowhere.
They're just as bad there as they are here.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Probably wasn't as bad as when we were all on an MTA bus and some moron decided they were going to hit the back of the bus with a couple of hundred people on board.
Ouch.
Ooh.
That's worse, yeah.
I wonder if I should use that story as motivational speaking.
You just did.
No, I know. No, I mean for optimists, like say the Edmonton Dinner Optimist Club. I wonder if I should use it for that one day. Because I want to make the general public aware of what happened to me.
Yeah, and then you can top it off by telling them to come visit our site where they can learn more about Canes, resources on traveling, mm-hmm. You know, experiences, podcasts.
I wonder... Would it be possible to link it to link your that site to our club's website?
And
so
it has
that they, yeah.
No, because they don't have anything to do with what we are trying to do. But they are willing to, yeah. If an agency would like to, you know, learn more about us, they can come visit us. We don't just link to any site. There was one site wanting me to link to them because they had links to things dealing with, you know, disabilities and, you know, living alone and such like that. But we don't, that's not what this is.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, disabled people or the sighted people learning from us about what's out there so that they can learn how to better help us, you know, if we need help crossing or we, you know, or if they drive, they need, you know, they can better, you know, understand how we're supposed to do it safely so that when they do see us, they're more aware. That's what the site is for. And by telling your story, it goes back to what we've been saying all along. You guys need to make sure you're paying attention. You know?
Yes.
If it wasn't for that biker helping me cross the street, I would have had to wait another light because the car was already in the middle of the intersection. They're starting to pull that now. In the middle of the intersection, and then they stop because they see me, and they, you know, it's like, oh. And then, but I'm too scared to go because I sense what's going to happen, and that's...
Well, yeah, because you don't know if the light's red or green.
Oh, I know it's green because when they were turning, my light already changed. It was a right-hand turn.
We don't have audible lights where we are.
See, and
we
that's...
We don't have audible traffic lights.
Well, they're not audible, but we have the vibrating ones at my corner.
That might work for, say, somebody who is deaf and hard of hearing. They can see the light. But for us, we need audible signals. Where we were in Metalark, we had those. Not all of them. But then because of that, our city doesn't want to pay X amount of dollars just for those lights for one or two people. We're just a minority. They're the majority.
Well, it's actually... Well, I wouldn't say it's the law because I don't know if it is or isn't, but, you know, if they want, you know, better safety, I would. But that's just me.
They don't think that way. Sawdust for brains.
Well, it does cost a lot of money to get these things installed.
Yeah.
And they have to do all four corners.
Yes.
So.
But they won't. Like, poles, for instance. Again, I want to mention that because, I mean, a lot of mobility instructors will tell you, oh, you're supposed to be able to detect every single pole with your cane. Like, that's not possible.
Well, it is if you...
Oh, if 2 feet a second.
Yeah.
Or 2 feet a minute.
Yeah.
Well, it is if you time it right.
Yeah.
But
no way of timing them because...
Yeah.
Because you have to be exceptionally proficient in mobility in order to time it right. And you have to count every single pole, the steps in which it takes between each pole.
Yeah.
And some of these poles are randomly placed, not...
That they're not placed in a straight line.
Nope.
Halfway out in the middle of the friggin' sidewalks, or people leaving shopping carts in our directional path. That's another one I want to bring up. That's safety hazard.
Well, that's everywhere.
That's everywhere, yeah, I know. Yeah. Even
particular...
in front of our... Yeah,
that particular
even in our
one's
directional
everywhere.
path. Yeah, yeah. Shopping carts, bikes, other wheeled objects. It's not just white cane travels I'm worried about. It's also travel in general. So, because they... people who are... Some people just don't look both ways like they're supposed to. I mean, they need to use what God gave them. Their eyes. Their ears. They need to listen. They need to see what is around them. If there's anybody ahead of them or behind them. That's what we do, or try to. And this is why I'm mentioning that, because travel in general, with a cane or wheelchair, whatever you have, even a guide dog could be run over. And that is why I worry about safety in the extreme. That is the one big thing that a lot of people do not look around. They don't say, oh, we've got something ahead or behind us. They don't look left and right like they're taught as children. We need to start young, teaching our children to look both ways. Or, in our case, listen both ways.
Jared?
Yep. Go ahead, Tim.
I was just saying she's finished there.
I'm done.
You know, I think that is the biggest thing now.
Issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the biggest issue.
Safety. Safely white caning.
Yeah. And the other thing I would like to bring up is some people, even though our canes are painted white, I wish there was a way to highlight that bright enough that people in cars, trucks, whatever, even other sighted pedestrians would see those canes.
Well,
do we need to wave them in the air?
Well, okay. It's funny you should ask. There's a company called Ambutech.
Yeah.
I believe they are based in Canada.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They make...
based in British Columbia.
Yeah.
They make highlight canes. In fact, I bought one from Maxeeds. I got a blue highlight cane, which means the top part is blue, and the rest of it's white and red.
But you can.
We got a black handle on ours.
Okay, yeah. that is my... Well, that's the default one. But I moved away from the black canes, because that's been my problem. That's how I almost got hit. And when I did get hit, tapped by that car, guess what cane I was using?
Your black one?
Yep.
Black handle one.
Yep.
Ouch.
Yep.
Wow.
So I have learned not to use them anymore.
Oh, wow.
I have glow greens from Maxi 8s, and I also have a blue highlight from Maxi 8s, and you can get them colored. You can call Ambutech in the morning. and talk to them more about them, but all the sections can be different colors. You can get blue on the top, yellow in the middle, and let's say, you know, pink or something on the bottom. You know, they do yeah. have pink. They do have pink. You can choose from about, you know, 10 or 12 different colors. You can have it all the same if you want.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking of something a vivid bright on the top and or even on the tip.
I think the tip needs to stay white.
Tip, no.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They would highlight the rest.
Yeah.
And I would really consider, if you don't go glow green like I did, you get the highlight cane. HILITE. I'm trying to push people away from the... Now, look, if the black and white cane works for you, great.
Keep it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, you know, change because I say so.
Exactly, right.
But if you go to White Cane Travel and you talk about and you read the cane experience, you know, I can update that and talk about, you know, recent experiences and why I got the Ambutech cane and why I got, you know, why I'm not even recommending. I personally don't recommend the black cane anymore.
Yep.
You know, when my mobility instructor at Braille, who now works at Metro, but before that they were at Braille Institute, told me I can get a cane for $35, which isn't bad. It's you know, middle priced. I said, what is it? Is it black and white? She said, yes. I said, I can't use them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. Now, I will use it as a spare.
Yeah, especially if the other one breaks.
If should any of mine break, I will use one as a spare. But I will not travel on a day-to-day basis with it anymore. Because that is how I got hit.
Safety.
This
is concerned.
Exactly.
That is how I almost got hit. I actually got clipped by a car because I had the black and white cane. That was the cane I was using. It was a spare because my other canes were in New York getting repaired, and that's all I had.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the highlight yet because when I ordered it, they sent me the black one, and I was very specific in what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I were to do it again, I would actually get the whole thing highlighted. Maybe a blue top like I've got already. It is a bright blue. Maybe a yellow body. And, I could see what other color. Maybe a white bottom.
Yeah.
Or a green or something. So, but you could get different colors. And it would be something I think for you, Stephanie, I think you should investigate in. It's time. You cannot afford. Now, I don't know if they have a reseller in Canada because they don't. You have to buy at least $50 from them to be able to buy one. And it's under. When I went to go buy, it was like $33. And they said the minimum order was $50. But you could call them up and say, look, I'm in Edmonton Edmonton. You know, could you sell to me? Because I'm in Canada already. Here's my situation. Mm-hmm. And let them tell you what they want to do. But I am done, unless I absolutely have to, I am done with the black and white cane.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, this woman didn't even bother to look.
But if that's the case, no color cane will help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If that's the case, no color cane will help you. You might as well go without it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But most of the drivers are going to be paying attention. We are going to find our fair share of them. I think it's gotten worse in the last couple of weeks because practically every time I cross over there at my street, Ventura and DeSoto here in LA, I'm faced with it practically every day.
Oh, wow.
Especially last night at around 6. No, it was almost 7:30 because I was actually running late, but because I missed my one bus by minutes. But it was 7:30 at night, and before I went to go and cross, and the car did the same thing, and I didn't go anywhere. Then I hightailed it to where I can get into some light so that I could have my cane charged, because that's what the glow greens need. They need light. So I stayed there a couple of minutes, took a few breaths. I'm like, okay, let's go. Went back to the crosswalk. A bike came by. Two bikes came by. Same thing. Car pulled in the middle of the crosswalk, stopped. The bike started to cross, and I'm staying there. And they're like, come on, buddy, let's go. I'm like, no, that car is... They made sure I got across the street. It is. But my cane got charged. It was glowing green. You think they would be seeing that?
Yeah, that would be a little difficult for me because I cannot see the light.
But I wasn't relying. I was relying on the button and the flow of traffic. The button vibrated at the exact same time they pulled into the middle of the intersection to turn right.
Yeah, for us.
So it was exactly my time to go.
Yeah, for us though, it would be difficult because we have to
listen for the surge. Yeah.
Yeah. And
but
sometimes
the surge,
there is no surge.
You guys have other difficulties. It's not just.
Well, yeah. No. It's because, like, you know, we sometimes there are no surge, and we don't know when it's green.
Especially when the daytime is. I can't see the lights in the daytime.
No.
I can see them in the dark, but I can't see them in the night.
I can't even see them in the dark, like, because I see so many lights that it's all the same to me. So I still rely on the surge and rely on my buttons if they vibrate. And and even in the dark, I don't rely on my vision as much.
I wish we had handheld vibrating traffic light buttons. That'd be cool. Then we wouldn't feel.
No, the vibrators are on the poles.
The vibrators are on the poles, and you could hear them, or you could put your hand on it and feel it vibrate.
Feel it, yeah.
Which is what I do in the dark.
Yeah.
I feel it vibrate, and then I know. Because it's 6:30 in the morning, most of the cars, there aren't that many cars going straight across the street. So.
It's 7:30 in the afternoon, 6:30 in the evening. That's when it all happens.
Yeah. And the interesting is, you may not. Something else you don't know about Trevor is that he has night vision. He can't look into the sun. He can't see in the sunlight, yet he can see at night. Mm-hmm. He's got extremely rare gray color eyes that he doesn't have enough of a pigment to be able to see during the daylight. But he does see at night, though, which really helps.
Anyway, thanks for the...
But that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would move... If I were you, it's time to go away from the black and white cane. It's time. And when I almost got hit in 2007, crossing the same intersection twice and almost getting hit by two cars, both of them right turns, I knew the black and white cane was history. And that's when I invested in the glow greens, which is
Well,
$41.95 through Maxi 8s.
that's good because this car was turning left.
Well, that's another pr that okay. That's a whole they actually, if they were turning left and you're on the south side of the street, I believe is what it is, they would be looking directly at you, and making
But she
sure
wasn't.
that it is clear before they turn.
Yeah, she didn't though.
She didn't. She just cut right in front of me. Right in the middle of the crosswalk.
Yeah, and that's technically illegal. They are supposed to
Yes, it
wait,
is.
according to the law, they are supposed to wait until you cross the lane, at least the lane in which you are crossing. Now, in that piece that I posted from White for White Cane Safety Day, it says no car is supposed to turn until you are completely across the street. But
Exactly.
except that if they sense that you are okay and you're going straight and you're not doubling back,
Then
then
they can turn.
they can go. But the law states that you must wait until they cross completely.
Yeah, but not all people obey the law either.
They don't even know.
But
A lot of people don't.
that's why I said, as long as you are out of harm's way, like if they see that they have room to go behind you and you're not, stopped somewhere, then there should not be a problem.
Exactly. This was like directly ahead.
Yeah, it, like
And
the MTA bus knows they need to wait until I step up because they need that room. And yes, I meet that 6:30 bus turning right practically every day. So they know.
But then again, at the same time, when we asked the police, they said it was a non-criminal act.
So I'm still going ahead
I don't
with.
understand why it, maybe because they felt there was no criminal intent.
It's possible, but I'm still nailing that woman anyhow.
I
I'm
would.
nailing her.
That's not right.
It's not right, no, but I'm still nailing her, even though, because we're settling out of court because I don't have the money to pay for court fees. And that.
Yeah, but you've got bills to pay. I mean, those medical, I mean, those medical bills aren't getting paid on their own.
The insurance company covered them.
That was covered. That was covered.
It was her insurance company that's going to be paying for them.
Oh yeah,
That's the
her insurance company is going to pay for that.
They have to.
They have to. So, of course, AHS here was going to make me pay $385 for the hospital stays. Like,
So the
come,
ambulance ride, actually.
well, that. Yeah, because I mean, good Lord. Not all accidents are covered under
Alberta Health.
services, yeah. It should be, but it isn't. Anyway, though, I'm getting really hungry,
Hungry.
so
So, great. I mean, I wasn't gonna keep you guys long overdue anyway, but what else?
My closing tip would be that if you are going to travel with or without companions, if you can hear the surge for traffic, do be careful. And if you are with someone who's sighted, they must look around to see what's going on, to making sure that the traffic in question, whatever it is, knows that you are there, that your companions are there. Make sure that the companions are able to be seen clearly as well. Because I don't want anyone else going through what I went through. I don't want anybody gashing their heads open and losing a lot of blood and being just shot. That's what happened to me. I don't want anyone else going through what I went through. Because it is not fun. It's scary. You could be dead in 5 seconds if it was bad enough. That's my closing tip for the day.
Do you guys want to give out any contact information for people if they would like to contact you or Tim in regards to anything discussed? It is optional if you want. You can say no, but I always want to give the guests an opportunity to give that if they wish.
If anybody wants to get a hold of me, you can write to, rather you use timothy@986themix.com. That's my public address that I can send out.
Right. I would like to do the same thing with mine as well. I would rather use my
public address
for that.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
That's okay. I would rather use my DJ Tiger Cub at 98.6.
DJ Tiger Cub at 96.6.com.
Yeah, I'd like them to write to that one.
Okay.
Rather than my, because that would be the best way for them to contact.
Yep.
If they would like to know more about that, that is fine. If they would like to talk to me privately, they may do so with my personal Twitter, if they're on Twitter.
Thanks very much, Jared.
All right, you guys are very welcome. Thanks for being on.
No problem.
Anytime.